Good morning, Christ Center. It's Thursday, September 18th, and we are in week two of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 3, 7 through 19. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a large crowd followed from Galilee, and a large crowd followed from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. The large crowd came to him because they heard about everything he was doing. And then he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him so that the crowd wouldn't crush him. And since he had healed many, all who had diseases were pressing toward him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You're the Son of God!" And he would strongly warn them not to make him known. Jesus went up to the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, to send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12 to Simon, he gave the name Peter, and to James, the son of Zebedee, and to his brother John, he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also would betray him.
Good job on those names, Pastor Joshua. I'm here with him and Pastor Janelle. And I'm just going to talk through this passage. This is quite a multitude that he's got here. They're coming from, look for all the places they're coming from. From Galilee, that's the region of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. You've got Capernaum, you've got all those towns right around there, right? So they're coming from there. That's where he's been thus far in the book of Mark. From Judea, that's the southern region where Jerusalem is. And from Jerusalem itself, from beyond the Jordan, around Tyre and Sidon, which is like over northeast in the Mediterranean area. This is a huge group by now. Jesus has fully gone viral now in this culture, and here they're coming to hear him. What do you see, Janelle?
Yeah, that's interesting. Think about how many people that must be. It must be a ton. And I wonder how much time do you think that this is talking about? Because yeah. That took a while. It's not like they could jump in their Lexus and take off.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know exactly when this would be. You know, Mark he organizes his book in a different way than Matthew and Luke do and John. So this is, I imagine he's already been down to Jerusalem at least one time here for the news to have spread this much. But the crowd is so large that Jesus is having them set up a boat so he can stand in the boat and teach and he wouldn't be crushed. Like, that's his actual concern. I don't really want to be crushed here, you guys. So you have to picture, these aren't just like quiet people. This is like almost a riot kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean, it says all who had diseases were pressing towards him to touch him. Like, yeah. Just put yourself in that. Like, the skin diseases and just the whatever, the lame people, they're getting crushed to try to get to him.
Like serious desperation. That would not be a particularly fun time, I think, to be one of these 12 disciples who he's naming here. What do you see in Joshua?
Well, it pivots then. Hey guys, get a boat so I don't get crushed. Everyone's trying to touch Jesus. And then the very next thing we see in verse 13 is he then appoints 12 and gives them authority to do the same things he's doing. So I think we're seeing now Jesus delegating that same thing that he was doing. Now he's saying, I actually want you guys to do it as well. And I'm going to multiply the ministry that I've come by my Father. He sent me to come and do these things, to drive out these demons, to heal the sick. And so then we see now the appointing of the apostles. And I think part of what I think Mark is showing us here is that it was more than one person could handle. Jesus was fully human and fully God. And so he immediately then delegates. And I think that's a very cool two sides of the coin here of this part of the story.
Yeah, and he had already called some of these men there. It's interesting, the chronology of the Gospels is interesting because the Gospel writers aren't as concerned as we Westerners are with timelines. They a lot of times organize things thematically a little more. So we don't know if this is directly after, but even the fact that he would put these together, I think, speaks to that point of like, there was so much going on here. He had to have other people here just to keep some semblance of order. But even right before what you said in verse 11, these unclean spirits are also in the mix and they're crying out, "You are the Son of God." Like, and that's causing more chaos. So the fact, you know, that he goes and he strongly warns them not to make him known.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Like, you're in a crowd of people that's trying to crush you because there's so many, and he's still wanting to warn to not make him known. That's just fascinating to me.
The humility of Jesus, again, is so something.
For real.
You know? And I wonder if part of maybe he was thinking, like, if they hear, if they get this, and they remember what we talked about early on, that Caesar was called a son of God. As these titles start accumulating on Jesus, and he's got this massive mob of people, you don't necessarily want them to start chanting, "Oh, he's the new Caesar, he's the new Caesar." If there's thousands of people here, like, there is a real concern that mob mentality takes over. You know, if there are Roman soldiers in the area, what happens if the crowd picks up that chant and turns it violent? Like, Jesus has to be, like, I wonder if that was part of it here, of like, chill. Like, there's going to be a time when this is going to be appropriate. It's not there yet. And this could quickly spiral out of hand. Pastor Joshua, anything else?
I love the leadership of Jesus. You know, the enemy is trying to lead the narrative. He's trying to, you know, bring about a different way for the Son of God to be shown as the Son of God. Jesus is there demonstrating he's the Son of God. They're not saying something that's not fairly obvious, but they're seeking to lead in a different way. And Jesus is leading in the way that Jesus is going to lead. And I think about that, the strength of that. God is a great leader. And I want to be led by this same Jesus. I want to do it the way that he wants to do it. I think that that's something that just comes to my heart, the lordship of Jesus. And of course, we're not demons, but we certainly have our opinions of how he should do things. And I think today that's something that's highlighted to me is, Jesus, how do you want to lead?
Yeah.
What is your time frame here? What are you doing? I want to lean into that.
Yeah, right on. You want to close us in prayer?
Lord, thank you for your perfect timeline. Thank you for your perfect plan. Thank you for your perfect demonstration of what kind of leader you are. Pray that you'd give each of us today the grace to see what you're doing and to lean in and follow your lead, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. See you guys tomorrow.